This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. But I'm not going to manage your life alone. I've got two people here who can probably manage your life so much better than me. Women always manage lives better than men, in my view, anyway. And I am really excited to have with us today, for the full hour, we are going to talk to women's rights, victims' rights, civil rights attorney, Lisa Bloom. Lisa, do you like to be called? Hi. Is it a women's rights, victims' rights, or civil rights?
They're all good. I primarily victims' rights. I like to say we represent victims of discrimination, harassment, and abuse. That's primarily what we do.
That's I think, the best thing. Victims. It takes in so many people. Lisa's the founder and the owner of the Bloom Firm, which is a civil rights, no, a victims' rights firm. And they've represented so many different clients, from Janice Dickinson in the Bill Cosby situation, Black China, the Rob Kardashian situation. There are all these situations. Wendy Walsh, of course, who brought down Bill O'Reilly.
By the way,
did you see Bombshell?
I did.
That was great.
So, yes, and I have a current case against Fox News for sexual harassment. I've represented five women in total against Fox News. Bombshell was terrific.
We had Gretchen Carlson on the show, and she told us all about it. I loved her. She did a great interview. Mm. She's just so upfront.
Even though
so
she's
honest.
Not allowed to tell her own story, sadly. And she's agitating now to get those confidentiality provisions stricken and say, you know, why shouldn't sexual harassment victims be allowed to tell their own story?
And she truly believes that and wants it to come out. And I think she's willing to kind of bend a little bit. She said on air that, you know, she's got these movie deals that she's doing. I can't remember what station they're on, but she's got like three movie deals. And she wants to get into actually explaining everything that's happened. And she feels very liberated. Is that something that you see with a lot of your clients?
So, yes. And so we do probably more sexual harassment and sexual assault cases than any other law firm. We're one of the biggest victims' rights law firms in the country now. We're in three locations. We have 18 attorneys. We're always growing. We're always hiring because we want to help as many people as possible. And one of the things that we do is when our clients say, you know what, I don't want confidentiality as part of the settlement, then we fight not to have that. If they don't want it, they shouldn't have to have it. And some of the cases we're going to talk about today, I'm allowed to talk about them because we stood up against these NDAs and said, we don't want it. Other clients say, you know what, I'm happy to have that. I don't want anybody talking about me. I don't want to talk about this. I want my privacy. And if they want it, that's fine, too. It's up to them.
You know, it's so important to be able to talk about them. But you have to understand those women, mostly women, some men, who really don't want to be in the limelight.
Which is most of them.
Most of them.
Our clients. They're terrified. And, you know, I represent five victims of Jeffrey Epstein. Even with him being dead, they still don't want their names out there.
Really?
They're still afraid.
I want to talk about that really quickly because you brought up Epstein. I was going to say, you know, 2019 was a big year, and Happy New Year. I haven't seen you
too,
in 2020.
Alan.
Nice to see you. And I'm here with my mom, by the way. My mom's visiting from Toronto, Mom. Isn't it exciting to be here in the warm weather?
Very exciting. So happy to be here with
the beautiful Evelyn.
Evelyn Gervie. Evelyn. And hopefully later in the show, we'll be able to get Sarah Bloom on because we're doing this kind of mother-daughter, mother-son thing today. And Sarah is Lisa's daughter and quite a rising star for the Bloom Firm.
Yes, she is. And it's Take Your Mother to Work Day, I guess, today, huh? Right?
Right?
Between Alan and me. My daughter, yes, I'm very proud that my daughter is a trial attorney in my law firm, and we did two trials together last year, two big sexual harassment trials.
So it was a big year. Tell us some of the victories that you had, and we're going to talk about some of them, but just off the top of the show, so we can get an idea of There's victories, there's defeats. We always have the ups and downs, and you are no different, ups
and
downs.
That's true. Well, for us, it's been mostly up. Last year was the best year ever for my law firm in the 9 years that we've been around. And the last couple of years, we've recovered over $50 million for our clients. And we got one of the biggest trial victories for a single victim in a sexual harassment case last year. Our client was Chastity Jones. I was personally lead counsel in that trial. Sometimes people say, you try cases yourself? Yes, I do. And I worked 24/7 on those cases. My daughter worked on that case.
Is that the one where you lost your voice? Because we were speaking to your mom, Gloria Allred, who had won the women's the Hall of Fame honor. And you called in to congratulate your mom, Gloria Allred.
And I was like this. And I couldn't understand you. You said that you were in trial.
That must have been that. Well, was that one or was the other one? Yes.
The Alki one.
Alki David, the billionaire bully. Alki David, yes.
We're going to talk about him, too.
Very hard on that. But it was an $11 million verdict. It's now worth over $15 million with attorney's fees. It was a tremendous victory. Our client, Chastity Jones, very brave, wonderful woman, and a great victory for her.
Did she testify at trial?
She testified for 3 days. She endured a lot of grueling cross-examination. The jury, the defense attorney, one of the biggest law firms in the country, they threw everything at her they could come up with, and she just handled herself magnificently, and the jury saw through all of the defense nonsense and tricks and gave her a wonderful victory. And one of the male jurors in that case said to me in an email afterwards, Lisa, I never thought about sexual harassment or Me Too before, and this case has really enlightened me and opened my eyes, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life advocating for women and standing up against sexual harassment.
Amazing.
Amazing victory.
What kind of defenses did they throw at you? Because obviously you're ready for anything, but was there anything that surprised you?
Well, this is what they say. It didn't happen. If it did happen, she wasn't damaged, right? The defendant, Alki David, actually admitted that he did a lot of it, although he denied other parts of it. He denied the sexual assaults in his office that she alleged. And the jury found that those sexual assaults did happen. They said that, she had written a birthday card to him on his birthday, as any worker will do to the boss when the birthday comes around, right? You sign the card, you write nice things. It doesn't mean he's not sexually harassing you. There were nice photos that she had taken and posted on her Instagram about how she loved her job. They tried to use that against her. I mean, people don't understand the power dynamic, that workers are always going to say nice things about the boss and pretend that they like everything. So the jury saw through that. Luckily, jurors, as you know, Alan, are mostly workers. They're not billionaires, millionaires. They're just regular people, and they understand what it's like when the boss is harassing you. You're often not going to speak up, maybe never, or not until it gets really, really bad. You're going to continue to say nice things about the boss. So they saw through it all.
And especially when you do have someone, and now we're talking about Alki David, jumping all over here, billionaire who is arrogant beyond arrogant.
Beyond.
I mean, some of the things that he says, it just can't be believed in the open court as well.
Well, and he screamed at me constantly and accused me of all kinds of things. And then we had a second trial against him that ended in a hung jury, the Elizabeth Taylor case. Our client, not that Elizabeth Taylor, the movie star, but that's her name, Elizabeth Taylor. And in that one, he decided to represent himself, since we had beat him so bad the first time. He tried something different. Representing himself meant that he got to do his own jury selection. He got to talk to the jury directly. He got to, be talking a lot more than a party would ordinarily get to. And he's constantly screaming at me. He posted on Instagram a drawing of my client and me with a bloody knife next to our faces, blood on our faces, the blood dripping from the knife. This really devastated her. She was up all night. She couldn't sleep. It affected her ability to testify right before her cross-examination. I'm constantly screaming at me. I mean, I would have a headache. At one point, the judge had five security guards, security officers in the courtroom to protect us from this man. I mean, he was completely out of control. He'd be smoking marijuana openly in the hallway, reeked of marijuana all the time. So, this is what I'm up against. I've got another billionaire, Steve Wynn, suing me for speaking out publicly on behalf of one of my clients. When you go up against these guys, they're going to pull out anything. A lot of them are very egotistical and arrogant. They're used to having their way.
Right.
They're used to everybody kowtowing. So it's especially sweet when you get a jury verdict that really socks it to them.
And I think that people become very sympathetic when they see this. It's the judge to be in that environment with Alki David saying things. Are you able to actually show the judge some of these things that are obviously meant to affect?
We did show it to the judge. You know, in my opinion, the judge really bent over backwards to accommodate him because he was representing himself. There's been four trials against Alki David this year. Most of the judges have said on the record, I've never seen anything like this before. They do some sanctions against him, some monetary sanctions. You know, when you're a billionaire, a couple thousand dollars really doesn't mean a lot. And I think the judges should have been tougher on him, frankly, especially when he's making criminal threats.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at justice, you want to see that billionaires, arrogance, they don't prevail over legal arguments, over the evidence.
Well, you know, we are all equals in the eyes of the law. And one of the things I love about doing a jury trial and being in front of juries is being able to say that my client, you know, she may have made $30,000 a year and she's up against a billionaire, but she is entitled to equal treatment. And jurors, I think, really respond to that. They don't like the arrogant billionaires.
Well, a lot of people don't like it. You don't just have to be a juror.
That's true.
In my line of work, you know, we're going up against employers all the time. And to hear some of the arrogance, you know, I had a guy today. This past week I was in court. And the guy developed silicosis. He worked cutting stone for countertops for 15 years. Gets silicosis in his lungs, the silicon in his lungs. The employer has the nerve to say, it didn't happen. It didn't happen because of the work that he did. No protective equipment at all. Oh. He's a family of four kids. It's really difficult. Sad situation. We've got a lot of sad situations and happy ones to talk about. You were just honored. We want to talk about an award you just won.
Thank you.
There's so many other cases. Hopefully we'll get Sarah on the line if we can. She's up in San Francisco. Mom, you're here in L.A. Are you enjoying the weather?
It's lovely.
You better say that. Coming from the snowstorm in Toronto.
Winnipeg.
She was in Toronto. Winnipeg's worse. We're talking to Lisa Bloom right here on Gervie's Law. Stay tuned for more after this.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Beep's coming. You know what to do.
Hey, I'm going to just rip this Band-Aid off. We need to break up. You're not good for me. I'm always sweaty and uncomfortable around you, and I'm not getting any benefits from this relationship. You're just a basic memory foam mattress. I deserve better. And before you ask, yes, there is someone else. I've been seeing the Purple mattress online for a while now. Don't blame yourself. How can you compete with a bed that totally supports me, hugs my pressure points, and sleeps so effortlessly cool? Not to mention the 100-night trial and free shipping. Now that's a bed with benefits. It'll make me feel better than you ever could.
Break up with your old mattress and get with Purple today. Take advantage of Purple's Snorin' 20 sale and get free sheets and a premium sleep mask when you buy any Purple mattress. That's up to a $158 value. Claim your free premium Purple gifts today by texting HOLIDAY to 84888. That's keyword HOLIDAY to 84888. Data rates may apply.
From Woodland Hills to Chino Hills. Get it. Right. AM 790 KABC.
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
And we are back. I'm Alan Gervie. We're talking to Lisa Bloom, who has been a legal analyst on just about every station you can think of, CBS, CNN, HLN, MSNBC, Dr. Phil, Dr. Drew, Situation Room.
Alan Gervie Show.
Amazing. Do you Lisa, miss doing a lot of the work? Because you were mentioning before the break, you did a lot of trial work.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a huge firm. It's been expanding mm-hmm. in, what, three different locations, the
yes.
Bloom firm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have as much time as you used to because, of course, you did shows like the Open Court show that you mm-hmm. did.
That was my show on Court TV for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, what I really love doing is practicing law and especially doing jury trials and talking to my clients and getting to understand their stories and how we can help them. And I was with a family this morning in our wrongful death case and, you know, just to talk to people and to think that maybe I can do something to help them. That's really the most gratifying. I mean, TV is fun and everything, but I really just like practicing law. And so the secret is, of course, it's not just me. I have a fantastic team of 18 attorneys and paralegals and staff and a bunch of other people as well. They're all great. And so I trust them and I can have them work on the case and draft a brief and file a motion and go into court. I of course, can't do everything. But I have a team of attorneys that they're just the best and I love them and I'm very proud to have them working for me.
And they're from all walks of life. One of the most amazing things about the Bloom firm is the backgrounds that the attorneys have, whether they're male or female, whatever their culture is, they're all fighting
it's
for
true.
The same goals.
Well, yes, diversity is important. Speaking a bunch of different languages is important, especially Spanish here in Los Angeles. And we speak a lot of different languages, Hebrew, French, Mongolian, and it's just the ones that come to mind. And, you know, one of my attorneys, he wrote to me and said, nobody in my family had gone to college. I worked my way through college, paid my own way, worked my way through law school, paid my own way, started up my solo practice, figured out how to get clients, and I really want to come work for you. And I thought, this is the kind of attorney I want. And he works for me now. He's a fantastic lawyer. I love him. You know, people, as you say, from all walks of life.
And you have motivated me as well because with our firm, after having talked to you in the last few years, we have also been very diverse. We call ourselves the United Nations, very proudly so,
yes,
with attorneys.
It's the best. Well, listen, if you're practicing in a big city like Los Angeles or New York, you need to have diversity. There's no excuse not to have diversity. We have a lot of female attorneys because most of our clients are women and it's mostly sexual harassment or assault cases. They often want to speak to a woman. But I'll tell you, you know, the men are also very sensitive and they understand the issues. And we have a lot of internal education classes about the psychology of sexual abuse and why people would recant and why they wouldn't report it right away. So everybody's really knowledgeable about the areas that we practice in.
So before the break, we talked about the movie Bombshell, which my wife Nancy and I saw recently, really enjoyed seeing. And I don't know if you say you enjoyed it, but
right.
It was
powerful.
It was very powerful. And you've been on this show in the past and talked about the Bill O'Reilly case, Fox News anchor, and Wendy Walsh, who mm-hmm. you represented.
Yes.
Now here comes Britt McHenry.
Yes.
Tell us about her case. And it's unbelievable because we're still talking about Fox.
Fox News has such an endemic sexual harassment problem. This is the fifth client I've had against them in a sexual harassment case. And Britt McHenry is currently working there. She's an anchor on Fox Nation. Fox Nation is their streaming service. And she was brought in about a year and a half ago. She recruited from ESPN. She's very talented. And she was put on a show with a co-host. And she alleges that he sexually harassed her. And she has the text messages. She did what we want people to do, which is report it to HR. And a lot of times my clients don't report to HR. And then people say later, well, why didn't she report it? Well, this is an example of why, because Britt alleges that after she reported it, not only did they not protect her, he got separated from her. He then got his own show. She got another co-host. And anybody who's got a co-host knows it's, you know, kind of a promotion when you get your own show solo, right?
Right.
And he does a lot of appearances on Fox News Channel, which is where everybody wants to be. She does not get asked to do those things. She got removed from industry events. So she's still there, but her career is now really floundering. And you know, this is just a very disturbing situation because in many of my cases, it's not so much the harassment, it's the retaliation.
Right.
Women can handle a few comments, a few inappropriate remarks. What we can't handle is our careers being affected. And she deserves to have a good career. And this is what happens at Fox News. All of the women, and you saw this in Bombshell, who complained, you know, they don't have careers anymore. Up to and including Megyn Kelly. Now, she went to NBC. It's a whole different story. But they're all off the air. They don't have careers. And that's what is very disturbing to me. So Britt is still there. We have now filed a lawsuit. Can you imagine what it's like to be an employee working at a company and you have sued them and you are prosecuting a lawsuit and you're still working there? This is a very big deal.
Do you ever tell your clients that that is greater protection when you do file a lawsuit? Because that happens in my line of work when we file a workers' comp claim, and I tell them there's something called Labor Code Section 132A claim, which is discrimination or retaliation for filing a claim. Yes. I would think that it is even more important in a sexual harassment case, but apparently not.
Well, it's the same thing in the sexual harassment and the civil rights laws. You are protected from retaliation, but what people want is not a lawsuit. They want their job. Right. So what I tell them is you have to make the decision that's best for your mental health. I'm not going to push you into something that's good for your case, but that makes you want to jump off a bridge at the end of the day. So if you are tough enough that you think you can handle going to work with a smile on your face and being a professional, because you still have to do that, and also have a lawsuit, which I will handle, then by all means, let's do it. But if it's too much, many of our clients will go out on a stress leave. Or they'll even constructively terminate, which means they'll quit, and we allege the conditions were so bad no reasonable employee could have withstood it as a constructive termination.
And in the Britt McHenry case, are the damages escalated when you talk about her career, the impact on her career?
Yes, absolutely. So the damages, which means the money that we can collect if we win, is her emotional distress, which is very big. Ever since she's reported this, it's been very tough on her emotionally. Lost income from the lost career opportunities, and her contract comes up for renewal this summer of 2020. We'll see what they do, right? Whether they renew her or not. She's very qualified. She does a great job. So if they don't, we're going to have another retaliation claim. You know, it would be better if they would just do the right thing, but apparently that seems to be beyond them.
What is the status of that case right now?
So we filed it in federal court in New York. So we filed that through my New York office, and we are going to begin discovery soon, which, as you know, is the part where we get to subpoena people and documents and make them answer questions under oath, and we're going to aggressively prosecute it.
Okay, I want to change gears for a minute. Jen Harley.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people listening will know exactly who Jen Harley is. I have to tell you, I'm not a Jersey Shore guy. I don't know a whole lot about it. But tell us about you, your representation of Jen Harley, and how it all fits into why there's so much public interest in that case.
Well, I can tell you're not, you don't watch the show because you called it Jersey Shores, and it's Jersey Shore.
There you go.
So let's start.
I'm a West Coast guy who doesn't watch the show.
So full disclosure, I don't watch the show either. So Jen Harley reached out to me. She was on the show Jersey Shore, as was her on-again, off-again boyfriend, Ronnie Ortiz. They have a baby together. So this is sort of a mixed family law and domestic violence case. And we do a lot of domestic violence cases at my law firm. There's still so much abuse of wives. It's unbelievable. So they have a baby together, and there's a history where she has been accused of domestic violence by him a few times, never prosecuted for it. The police have never arrested her or prosecuted her for it. And she has allegations against him, and he is being prosecuted for an incident a couple of months ago. And the city attorney in Los Angeles seems very willing to follow up on this and aggressively prosecute him. There's a restraining order in place. And as you know, restraining orders are very important. They must be followed to the letter.
Right.
I really like it when I have a restraining order in a case against somebody, because that gives me a lot of power. And if he so much as calls her, texts her, has somebody else do it indirectly because people try to get cute, shows up, etc., he's in violation of the restraining order and he should go to jail. And in fact, that's what happened a few weeks ago. He did reach out to her, and in a moment of weakness, she responded, listen, they have a baby together. That does kind of change everything. She wants her baby to have a relationship with him. She's got a soft spot, you know. So they did get together, but he's the one that's subject of the restraining order, not her. He's the one who reached out to her first in violation of the restraining order.
Isn't he using that against her, though?
Yes. So he's trying to use it against her. He, of course, immediately went to TMZ and told a story. Then in Las Vegas, they both live in Las Vegas, he supposedly went and got a protective order against her, although she still hasn't been served with it yet. And he told the press, and the press contacts me. So, you know, I would prefer to handle this in court.
Right.
I think we're in a very strong position. She's like 5'0". He is a buff guy. I don't know. I want to say 5'9", 5'10". If you look, bodybuilder. If anybody thinks he's in any kind of physical danger from her, I mean, just look at them. It's ridiculous. And in the last incident that was the subject of the restraining order, she's got bruises and scratches. There's a video. The police had to bust down his door. So, you know, he is the one who I believe is dangerous and should be taking this very seriously.
What's really heartbreaking is the baby, having the baby there.
Yes. And that's all she cares about, is having just a peaceful life with her baby.
So what's happening? We only have a minute before we take a break. What's happening in that case now?
Well, what's happening is we want to prosecute him for violation of the restraining order. And if he really did file something against her, we're going to oppose it because we don't think it's valid. I'm going to stand up for her and fight for her.
As you should.
Yes.
Is Jersey Shore still on?
I think it is still on. I understand, he's still there. He still has his contract. I think if he gets a domestic violence conviction, he may have trouble keeping his job.
You know, I'll tell you, as I'm listening to this case, it's not motivating me to watch the show. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And, you know, I get a lot of calls, actually, from people on reality shows about incidents of violence and harassment. And sometimes I think these shows fan the flames.
I think so. And it's interesting that they call you. It's the Bloom Firm. It's Lisa Bloom. We're going to take a quick break. We got some more cases to talk about. We got my mom sitting here. How's it going over there? You're sitting in the corner.
Hi, Evelyn.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, you haven't represented some of these people, victims. So that's why you're not getting as much mic time today. Is that okay with you?
That's quite all right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
AM 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Lakers legend Kobe Bryant is dead after a helicopter crash on a hillside in Calabasas, killing all 9 people on board, including Kobe's 13-year-old daughter Gianna. She was to play in a game in Thousand Oaks, and Kobe was to coach. Orange Coast College head baseball coach John Altobelli was also one of the victims. He was entering his 24th season as a coach for the program. At the time of the crash, about 9:45, the air was foggy with 100% humidity. Players and coaches around the NBA are trying to come to grips with Kobe's death. Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce.
But I've always respected his greatness because of his detail and his passion and the intensity of which he plays.
Be sure to be listening this evening at 7 when KABC will air a tribute to Kobe, hosted by Leo Terrell. KABC SoCal weather partly cloudy this evening and tonight with lows in the mid-40s to mid-50s. More news coming up in 30 minutes. Continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injury, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-590-7516. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-590-7516. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-590-7516. 800-590-7516.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We are talking to victims' rights attorney Lisa Bloom, the founder and owner of the Bloom Firm, which has three offices throughout the country. And there's one in San Francisco, isn't there?
Yes, that's our newest one.
The newest one. When did that open?
Maybe 6 months ago. And we have a lot of cases in Northern California. So
wow.
We're glad
that's
we have
amazing.
That office.
Yeah, and people are listening throughout the country. They listen on KBC.com or on Alexa. They just say play KBC 790 and they can listen on Alexa. They can listen to the podcast. So there are people from Northern California as well as Southern California and the rest of the country. I'll tell you something, Lisa. This past week, I was really fortunate enough to go to my six-year-old daughter's assembly Aww. At school. And it was the first time she spoke. She got in front of a microphone and she spoke.
Was she a natural?
She was a natural.
I bet.
She did a great job. And I really love seeing it. It made my heart just so full to see little Harper speaking.
Aww.
And I know that you have had that experience so many times because
yes.
lo and behold, part of the Bloom Firm in the San Francisco office is Sarah Bloom.
Yes.
A chip off the old block.
So, yes. Well, she actually works in all of our different offices. She happens to be in the San Francisco office today. And that's right. And she's a little bit older than Harper. Although Harper is a super cute name.
And Sarah has done a great job since she's become a lawyer. She's done a lot with revenge porn. In fact, she wrote a note at law school called No Vengeance for Revenge Porn Victims, unraveling why this latest female-centric intimate partner offense is still legal and why we should criminalize it. And she's working now for the Bloom Firm. And I want to welcome on the phone Sarah Bloom. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks, Alan. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're glad we are able to speak with you. Your mother has been talking glowingly about you, and we've had a couple segments where we've talked about some of the cases that you're involved with. We're going to talk a little bit about revenge porn, but before we do, speaking of creepy people, let's talk about Alki David. You were involved, Sarah, with that, and it's such a high-profile case. How did it feel being in the courtroom in front of the jury with this strange man who has done apparently some really bad things?
It was certainly an interesting experience. It was really cool, actually, to be able to work on this case with Lisa. It was my first trial. We had two trials this year. And to be able to work with my mom in the courtroom and see her in action was a really amazing experience. I've seen her on TV a lot. I've seen her do presentations to big groups of women and people. But to actually work with her in the courtroom was really fun.
Aw. And
really
I'll tell
nice.
You something, Alan. You know, I mentioned before how Alki would scream at me constantly, and I just kind of ignored it. But when he, at one point, kind of went over near Sarah, I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
And luckily, he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. I don't know. Did he say anything to you at any point, Sarah? Didn't he at one point when you followed him out into the hallway?
He did. He yelled at me to stop following him. He wrote on his blog that I was following him around and I was, quote, dressed like a lawyer.
Right. Which,
dressed like a what?
Know, like a lawyer.
A lawyer.
Oh, wait a second.
Why
you
is that
were
an
dressed
insult?
Like a lawyer.
Right, which I don't know if that's supposed to be an insult, but I took it as a compliment that I looked professional.
You got a lot of nerve dressing appropriately in a courtroom, Sarah.
He certainly was not dressed like a lawyer. So
he would wear Hawaiian shirts and slides and big shorts. And
I mean, it's like one of those episodes of L.A. Law when they used to do these things that were so outlandish.
Yes.
And you thought, could that be based in reality? Apparently.
This is even more outlandish. Honestly, this is, if you saw this on a TV show, what that trial was like with this man screaming and yelling and reeking of marijuana, you'd say this is too much. You know, nobody would really do this. And yet he did.
And Sarah, Lisa was saying that you played a big role. There were four attorneys who worked on the case and you had an opportunity to do some direct and cross-examinations of some of the witnesses.
Yes, in the first trial, I did the direct examination of our client's doctor, which was a great experience.
The psychologist, you know, and that's a very big one, and
it's
an important
really
one,
important.
And you really have to understand psychology, and you have to get ready for the cross examination. And Sarah did a beautiful job, and that's a very important witness in any case.
And that was when Alki was represented by attorney, versus representing
that's
himself.
That's true. Yes.
Yes, and I'll add that the jury said after that trial that they found her very credible. So that was good.
That's right. So if the witness is credible, the lawyer gets the credit. If the witness is not credible, it's the witness's fault.
That's not my fault.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it.
I know in deposition sometimes, Sarah, maybe you'll find yourself doing this sometimes, but when I'm listening to my client and I'm not really thrilled at what he or she is saying, I start moving away. I'm moving my chair. And by the end of the deposition, I'm in a corner and he or she is isolated in another corner.
Well, that's what's so interesting about what we do, though, as trial lawyers, isn't it? That, you know, you're working with human beings. You can't completely mold them. They're not robots. They're going to be what they're going to be. You know, you can give them all the advice in the world, but some people are not going to follow it.
No, absolutely not. You can't be speaking for them, although some other attorneys say that I'm testifying, and I'm sure you've heard that as well.
Of course, yes.
So, Sarah, has it motivated you to want to get more involved in these cases? You've done so much pro bono work in your short career, which I take my hat off to you. I know not only with the Bloom firm, but with your previous firm, you were doing pro bono work. It seems like you are really taking to this gig.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's nothing like trial. It is truly, you know, it's its own experience, you know, and it's all of the hard stuff of writing motions and discovery and doing that stuff in preparation, it all leading up to that moment of trial, which I really loved. So I think it made me want to get more involved with those trial experiences because I just love that. The stress and then things happening last minute. We had a juror, like who we thought was our best juror one morning, call out sick and said he couldn't come in and we had to scramble and figure out what to do. I did a lot of, you know, wrangling witnesses and trying to get people to testify who didn't want to testify. So I kind of love that drama aspect of the legal profession and it makes me want to do more things like that.
And what people don't realize is all the preparations that go into a trial. I remember a couple of years ago when we had Tom Mesro on the show and he was talking about the Michael Jackson trial. He had said that they had spent months and months preparing these trial books ready to cross-examine the witnesses. And he recalls, I'm not sure if it was Michael Jackson's mother or someone who was on the stand, and the answers at the beginning of the cross-examination were so different from what he expected. He said, I just had to throw all the books
takes
away.
You in a different direction. You've got to be on your toes if you're a good trial lawyer. And you have to listen to the answers and not just stick with your outline, right, if it goes in a different direction. So I know exactly what he means.
Yeah, and I know, Sarah, a lot went into the planning. When you look at it, how was that when you're getting ready for a trial? People don't realize some of the late nights you're putting in and all of the information that you're trying to put together so you're prepared. What kind of experience was that on this particular case, the Alki case?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of hard work. We had four attorneys and a paralegal working around the clock, not just right before trial, but in the over 2 years before we got to trial, you know, fighting off big motions from a big law firm and a billionaire. So, you know, I definitely had experience working late nights at my last firm, but this was, you know, different because it was preparing for a trial, which I found very satisfying, that kind of, you know, working hard because it was leading up to something. But I also found it interesting what we thought in preparation turning out to be completely different when we talked to the jury. You know, some witnesses who we thought were fantastic, the jury didn't like, or some evidence that we thought was really crucial, they discounted, or the opposite. So I think it's given me some good insight in preparing for the next trial or just preparing for my cases in general.
So tell us a little bit about some of the revenge porn cases that you've either dealt with or you have worked on. I know it's an area that is very important, and I saw you with the law in New York that she helped get passed. Yeah, the Albany, New York press conference with Senator Boyle.
Yes. So we, my mom and I went to Albany, I think it was 2 years ago, and lobbied to try to get New York to pass a law criminalizing revenge porn. And it was shocking that New York did not have a law like that on the books. You know, I think it was over 30 states at the time, including, you know, Alabama had statutes criminalizing revenge porn, but New York didn't. So we worked with Senator Boyle in New York to try to get a revenge porn law passed. And last year they passed one, and Senator Boyle was amazing to work with. And he actually thanked Lisa and I on the floor for coming out and lobbying with him and he and all of our efforts. But, you know, it was really that team and they, you know, meeting with all the senators and going through drafts of that legislation. But I'm really glad that now New York, which is my home state, has a anti-revenge porn law in the books.
And you did an excellent job explaining what revenge porn is in that press conference. I know that a lot of people kind of get an idea. Mom, do you know anything about revenge porn?
He's asking.
Sorry.
Evelyn. You don't know what it is, Evelyn?
No,
okay, that's good. Sarah can tell you what it. What is revenge? Please explain to Evelyn, who's Alan's 80-year-old mother, who's here.
Well, she's a little older than that, but we won't tell you how old.
Hi, Evelyn.
Plus or minus a few years. Does not matter. She looks
the
gorgeous.
Yes, a woman's age. And you're one that you never hide your age. My mom, right. She's getting up there.
Well, you have to hide it a little bit.
Sarah, what's revenge porn?
So revenge porn is the distribution of sexually explicit images of one person without their consent. And it's called revenge porn because it usually happens in the context of a former partner sending photos of their, you know, ex-girlfriend when the breakup happens and it goes badly. You know, these people post these photos online. You know, there was a woman who her ex-boyfriend sent naked photos of her to her son's kindergarten teacher, to her religious organization leaders, posting her photos on eBay to auction them off. But it doesn't have to just be former partners. It could be friends, coworkers, but we usually mostly see it in the, you know, ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend situation. But it is so devastating to the victim. You know, people often dismiss it and think it's not a big deal. You know, it's just a photo, just get over it. But this really ruins people's lives. And I think, you know, a really high percentage of these victims contemplate suicide.
Right.
A few teenage girls actually committed suicide when their photos from like a party were leaked online and it got sent around their whole high school. So it really has a devastating impact on people's lives.
It's really awful. And the Bloom firm actually specializes in it.
So a lot of people are
afraid to come forward. You know, it's interesting with Sarah being in the generation where revenge porn kind of has become a little more fashionable, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perfect attorney to have.
Yes, because she's so knowledgeable. And I can tell you, it's not just the younger folks. So I could talk about my client, Isabel Villegas, who is an LAPD detective.
Wait, hold on. We're going to talk about Isabel. It's a great case to talk about. After the break, we have to take a break.
Yes.
We just had to educate my mom. You didn't have revenge porn when you were a little bit younger,
sorry,
right?
Nothing like that.
No. Well, that's good. Some of the technology has resulted in, unfortunately, new causes of action that are not good. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Isabel Villegas case and Danny Reedy.
Yep.
I had a friend named Danny Reedy. It's not the same Danny Reedy.
Okay.
He's a lawyer in Chicago, and we're going to talk about what that case is all about. Very interesting case. And maybe we'll talk about a couple transgender cases
Love that.
We'll do that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And we are back. What an hour we're having here with Lisa Bloom, with Sarah Bloom, and with Evelyn Gervie.
It's Take Your Mother to Work Day, Sarah.
It's Take Your Mother to Work. Sarah brought her mother, Lisa, and I brought my mother all the way from Toronto, Evelyn, here. And Sarah was telling us before the break about some of the revenge porn cases that unfortunately have become all too familiar to too many people. Tell us some of the statistics, because people don't understand, Sarah, how prevalent this has become.
Yeah, so it's actually a really common problem. 61% of people in this 2014 study, and it's probably more now, but 61% of people have shared an intimate photo of themselves with a partner. And 1 in 10 of those people has been threatened by that partner, who said they would post their pictures online.
Wow.
And 60% of those people have actually carried out their offense. So, but even despite common awareness that, you know, revenge porn exists and this happens to celebrities, 94% of Americans still think that their risky photos are safe in the hands of an intimate partner.
Oh boy.
So yeah. People have all of these trust in their intimate relationships and think, I'm so happy, I'm in love right now, my partner would ever do this. But then when the breakup goes sour, you know, that trust is completely broken.
Evelyn's eyes are popping out at these statistics, Sarah.
Yes, she is. She's learning.
She's
not
shocked.
Only is she shocked, but she's learning. Please don't send any picture. I think it's a good rule to follow.
Oh, I'll have to take some back then.
Oh, very funny.
Well, you never know who you can trust. That's the bottom line. And it's sad in a way, but I think the more education that's out there, hopefully people will know to try and control themselves.
Well, can I jump in with that?
Yes.
So I think that point that, you know, the victim should be more careful, we actually have to be really careful with, because that's kind of victim blaming, and that's shifting the blame from the bad actor, the person that is breaking the trust and doing this without their consent, onto the victim. You know, when someone's credit card gets stolen,
right,
and their identity gets stolen, we don't say, well, you should have been more careful with your credit card, it's your fault for, you know, using your credit card at the grocery store. So I just think we have to be really careful with that kind of, you know, language.
And that's an excellent point.
And Evelyn's nodding.
Yeah, it is a good point.
Thanks,
it's an excellent point, because, you know, here I am thinking that we shouldn't trust people. But I really believe in what you just said, Sarah, that maybe, you know, there's a lot of education involved, but we can't not trust people.
That's right.
If you're in a relationship.
It's also like blaming a woman for wearing a short skirt when she got sexually assaulted. You know, let's put the blame where it lays. I got Evelyn on that one, too. So we're batting 1,000,
sure.
Sarah. So I think, yeah, let's put the blame where it lies on the wrongdoing.
I'm surrounded by very smart, beautiful women today.
Oh, go on.
Well.
That's true.
He says it's
I'm
true.
Just over the phone. So
yeah.
But
take my word
for pictures,
it.
She's so going. Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
Can I talk about Isabella Villegas
yes,
now?
Yes, I want to hear about Isabella
So
Villegas.
This is an example of a revenge porn case that we've done at the Bloom Firm recently. We got a big victory recently. So she is an LAPD detective. Only about 10% of detectives are female. They're mostly men. It's a hard position to get, and robbery, homicide, which is very prestigious. She was at the LAPD over 30 years, and she worked her way up, and she's a decorated officer and detective. She had a consensual relationship with a male officer that ended up being one of domestic violence, and he was threatening her, and he took pictures of her, took intimate photos of her, and he said if she ever left him, he would release the photos, which is a very common threat in an abusive relationship. She was scared. She told people at the LAPD that this was going on. He was threatening her, and nobody helped her. Nobody reported him. And eventually, she did break up with him anyway, and then he made good on his threat,
wow,
and he did distribute these photos to other LAPD officers who were then looking at them and passing them around.
Was
and
he still
she found
working
out about
at
it.
The LAPD
still,
when he did that?
Yes, yes. And she was suicidal, poor thing. She was devastated. She was mortified. These were very explicit images. And I remember about a year ago talking to her and saying, Isabel, please, please hang in there. Please don't do anything to yourself. I was afraid for her. We went in, we got a restraining order immediately that nobody could distribute these photos. That's something people are not aware that you can do in a revenge porn case. It's a
I didn't
form
know
of domestic abuse. It's intimate partner abuse. And you can go in. We've done it in 3 cases. We're 3 for 3 getting restraining orders. We go in, we show the court, and not only was he prevented from distributing them and everybody had to destroy them, but we got the restraining order, which meant he had to give up his gun because it's a form of domestic abuse and domestic violence perpetrators have to give up their gun. If you're a cop and you have to give up your firearms, you can't be on the street anymore. He was then moved to a desk job. And the judge said from the bench, I realize the significance of what I'm doing. And I'm only doing it because of the strength of the showing that we made in the case.
He was moved to a desk job?
Yes.
What is up with the LAPD?
Suspended. And then he was suspended.
Please.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, look at what's going on, you know, in baseball, for instance. The employers cannot condone any of this.
This is ridiculous.
And they should not have jobs.
Well, how about the fact that it took Internal Affairs a year, and finally he just got charged recently. He just got charged with crimes. Revenge porn is a crime, as Sarah knows. It's a civil wrong, which means you can sue, and it's a form of domestic abuse. We took Isabel. We got the restraining order. She reported it as a crime. She reported it to Internal Affairs, and we filed a lawsuit. We just settled the lawsuit for a very significant number. I don't want to say what it is yet because we're waiting for City Council approval.
Wow.
And I don't want to jinx it, but it's a big win for her, and she deserves it. Thank you. And he's just been charged with, I believe, nine felony counts.
So
I don't know why it took
justice.
A year. There is. Of course, we don't have a conviction yet.
So does that mean that the Dodgers are going to get the World Series that the Astros
I'm sure that's
won?
Exactly what that means. And you know,
you are setting the precedent for that.
Yes,
City of LA has to thank you for it.
Yeah. You know, we represent a lot of women in law enforcement. We represent a woman who is a California Highway Patrol officer who alleges sexual harassment by a sitting judge. No other law firm would take that case. They were scared of
it.
We took it. We're fighting that case. We represent female corrections officers. They get a lot of abuse because these are very macho professions, and I'm very proud of these women when they stand up for themselves.
That's amazing. I mean, all of the work and the trickle-down effect where it impacts others who may not be the subject matter of the lawsuit.
That's right, and they inspire others. Listen, because Isabel stood up against the LAPD, we've had others reach out to us with similar stories. That's what it takes, you know, they're trailblazers.
Sarah, we only have a couple minutes. What cases are you looking forward to in 2020 representing your clients on?
So we just filed a lawsuit recently against Fox News on behalf of our client, Britt McHenry, who's a
right.
Fox Nation host. I don't know if you've talked about this already on the show.
We did talk about that one. And I'm going to mention the Bruce Weber case, which we're, I think, a little bit reluctant to talk about, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I know Sarah's on that team. We represent six men, male models, who allege that they were sexually assaulted by the fashion photographer Bruce Weber. That's a case in federal court, may go to trial this
interesting.
Year.
Interesting.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's an interesting case. Mom? Any yes. cases in 2020 that you're looking forward to, or what are you looking forward to in 2020?
I'm not sure. Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet. Well, a lot of women, I think, deserve that. And sometimes, unfortunately, what we're seeing, especially at Fox News and some of the other employers, the women aren't getting peace and quiet, and some men.
But they do when they get justice. And I'll tell you the most, I don't know Sarah's view, but mine, the most gratifying part of what we do is when we get a big victory for a client, and then we hear from her later, and she says, you know, I've been able to take this money and go back to school and get an education, pay off my debts, change careers, take care of my kids. And I feel that I've gotten justice and accountability, and it brings me a sense of peace.
What a great way to end the show. Sarah Bloom, thank you so much for being with us, and all the best in 2020 with the cases and with the San Francisco office, which you're helping out, making it a big success.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. This has really been great.
Of course. And Lisa, thank you as always. Wow.
Alan, you're such a doll.
The hour goes by so quickly.
You're
it goes
such
by
a doll.
So quickly.
Thank you.
And look at this. You've made a friend here with Evelyn,
Evelyn
my mom.
Is a doll. I feel like if you've got Evelyn, you've got America. So even though she's Canadian. But when we get her nodding, that's got to be a good sign.
It is
right?
a good sign. And let's hope for all the best. Continued
thank
great
you.
Work in 2020. And thanks so much for being on Gervie's Law with
thank
us
you,
today.
Alan, for everything you do standing up for injured workers. It's such important work.
I appreciate that. And that's going to do it for Gervie's Law this week. Looking forward to another great show next week. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.